Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
If you have your Bible, come with me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10 through to 18. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. It says here, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. For you do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Again, Father, we thank you and we praise you for your presence. Lord, now I ask that you will prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, prepare our eyes, prepare our ears to receive your word, to receive your truth. Let our hearts be receptive, our minds be able to comprehend, our eyes be able to see, our ears be able to hear that which you would say to us by your Holy Spirit. Let every blockage and barrier be removed now. Any distraction or hindrance be taken away in Jesus' name. As I humble myself once again before you, I thank you for the capacity given to me to prepare a message. But Lord, I need you to once again to continue to prepare the messenger. My reliance is upon you completely. I depend on you, Holy Spirit, and I thank you for the anointing to be able to communicate your word to your people. Lord, I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we started with the armor of God. We started looking at the armor of God. And again, it's just to remind you right from the very beginning that the title of our message, of our series, is Prepared for Battle. We need to be constantly prepared for battle because we are in a battle. Child of God, you are in a battle. And it's a battle that Christ has already won for you. Now, a few things that we have already covered. First of all, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. To be prepared for battle, you need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Secondly, you need to put on the full or the complete armor of God. And then thirdly, you need to be ready to resist the forces of evil. Forces of evil that are coming against you, coming against your marriage, coming against your life, coming against your family, coming against your town, your place of work, your place of business, anywhere and because you are a child of light, darkness will always have a problem with you. That is inescapable. But God is with you. And if God is with you, and if God is for you, who can be against you? Amen? So you need to be ready to resist. You need the resistance is rising. The resistance is rising. And we've got to be prepared to be part of the resistance. Those who will fight against tyranny, those who will fight against the wickedness and hatred of the enemy as he seeks to continue to enslave and entrap people in the power of sin, in the power of sickness, and in the power of darkness. So there's got to be a resistance, and you need to learn how to resist. This is something we won't go into too much on this series, something that we'll cover later on in the year. Now, to resist the enemy, we have got to take up the whole armor of God. Now, we looked at this last week. You put on the armor once. You don't put it on every day. I know we pray on the armor, and you don't need to put the armor on every day. You put it on once, but you have to take it up every day. There's got to be a conscious decision that says, am I fit for the battle today? You know, you may be fit for praise, you may be fit for worship, you may be fit for any and every other spiritual discipline, but when it comes to engaging with the enemy, you need to be fit for that. You need to be prepared for that. So you've got to take it up. You've got to take it up. And that will enable you to do that. Now, what we said, we covered four things in relation to the armor. And we'll just look at that very, very quickly before we go into today's teaching. The armor of God is spiritual armor that can only be used in a spiritual battle. You don't use a feather duster in a knife fight. You need a sword. And you need to be strong enough to hold a sword. This is why in this house we teach what we teach. Amen. Because you need to be strong enough to hold a sword. Amen? Amen. Next, it is armor that is supplied to us by God, but it is not used to us by, but is not used by God. If you think about this, the armor of God has been created by God. You can't get any better than that. That's not some shoddy thing. No. It's been created by God. It is armor that is to be used both for defense and offense. And finally, it is armor that needs to be put on in its entirety. We looked at this last week from the Gospel of Luke, that the enemy also has armor, and he goes into battle fully clothed. So when we meet with him in battle, we need to be fully clothed. Amen? All right, so very quickly, we move on. Now, we're going to cover three of the pieces of armor today, and then three next week. So the first one we're going to look at is the belt of truth. So Ephesians 6:14 says, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist." Now the belt of truth represents God's eternal truth, which is truth that is absolute. The only weapon that we have against the lies and distortions of the enemy is the truth of God's word, his infallible and absolute truth. Now, using the armor of a Roman legionnaire to illustrate this point, it is the belt that fastens and holds the whole armor together. And it is the belt upon which the sword hangs. Likewise, it is the belt of truth that fastens and holds the whole armor of God together. And it is the truth upon which the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, hangs. Without the belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit will have nothing to be secured to. Now, what God says and what Satan says cannot be both right. Only one can be true. Only one can be right. And it is truth that is not relative, but truth that is absolute. Relative truth basically says, because I am a human being, because I have the power of choice, I have the capacity of conscience, I can choose to believe whatever I want to believe. So therefore, what is true to me might not be true to you. And what is true to you might not be true to me. That is when truth is relative. But truth that is absolute says that regardless of what you believe or I believe, truth is truth. Amen? And that can never be changed. Both can't be right. Two men had an argument. And to settle the matter, they went to a judge for arbitration. The plaintiff made his case, and he was very eloquent and persuasive in his reasoning. When he finished, the judge nodded in approval and said, "That's right. That's right." On hearing this, the defendant jumped up and said, "Wait a minute, judge. You haven't heard my side of the case yet." So the judge told the defendant to state his case. And he, too, was very persuasive and eloquent. And when he finished, the judge said, "That's right. That's right." When the clerk of the court heard this, he jumped up and said, "Judge, they both can't be right." The judge looked at the clerk of the court and said, "That's right. That's right." What God says and what Satan says cannot both be right. only one can be truth, and not truth that is relative, but truth that is absolute. In the week, we were recently reminded of this wonderful quote by Oz Guinness, the theologian. And he said this, truth is truth, even if nobody believes it. And falsehood is falsehood, even if everyone believes it. The Christian faith is not true because it works. It works because it's true. It is not true because we experience it, but we experience it deeply and gloriously because it is true. But is God's word really truth? Well, what does it say in God's word? John 17:17 says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Psalm 119, Psalm 119 verse 160 says, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. So God's word is not just a truth or the truth. It is truth. It is truth. Simple and short, it is truth. Now, what does it say about Satan? Well, Jesus declared that the devil is a liar and the father of all lies. And when he lies, he speaks out of his own resources. He has a resource of lies. A resource of lies. And the problem is that the devil's lies are so convincing, billions of people have believed them to be true. And not just unbelievers, but believers, Christians. Many Christians have been taken in by the deception of the enemy. The theologian Charles Spurgeon says, if you want truth to go around the world, you must hire an express train to pull it. But if you want the lie to go around the world, it will fly. And it is as light as a feather, and the breath will carry it. The word of God is truth, even if nobody believes it. And what the devil says is a lie, even if everybody believes it. When God speaks, he speaks truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Hebrews 6:18 says that he cannot lie. Numbers 23:19 says that he is not a man that he should lie. Titus 1:2 says that God will never lie. But when the devil speaks, he speaks lies and nothing but lies. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6, no one comes to the Father except through me. Now this is his truth. This is the truth, not just a truth. I am the truth. I am the truth. And the truth is that God created every human being to be in relationship with him. But our sin has separated us from him. Sin cannot be removed by any good deed. Therefore, paying the price for our sin, Jesus died on the cross and rose again on the third day. Now, everyone who trusts in him alone has eternal life. And life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. This is truth. An absolute truth, not relative truth. It's not a truth that is true for me and true for you. If you're here today, you don't believe in God, you don't believe in Jesus Christ, maybe you're an atheist or an agnostic, maybe you're watching this and you're not really sure about where you're at. Let me say this to you. We're not dealing with relative truth here. We're dealing with absolutes. Whether we want it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we accept it or not, it doesn't change it from being true. Heaven is still glorious. Hell is still really, really, really bad. That doesn't change. What you and I believe about it doesn't change what it is. Amen? Amen? So, child of God, this week you need to check your belt of truth. You need to make sure that it is correctly fitted on and fit for purpose, which is warfare. Jesus said, John 8:31-32, To the Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So what do we need to do? Well, you need to read truth. You need to memorize truth. You need to meditate on the truth. You need to abide in the truth. You need to believe the truth. This is when you will come to know the truth. And it is only the truth that you know that can make you free and keep you free. It is only the truth that you know that can make you free and keep you free. You also, this week, need to learn to recognize and reject Satan's lies every time, and learn to receive and retain God's truth every time. You need to reject his lies, Satan's lies, about who he wants you to believe that you are. How he wants you to see that relationship. How he wants you to feel about your walk with God. How he wants you to feel about your church. How he wants you to feel about Christianity at large. If those thoughts that are coming into your mind don't line up with the truth of God's word, they are the lies of the enemy. They have got to be, recognized, and they have to be rejected. Don't be relying on your emotions, because if you rely upon your emotions will lie to you every single time. The Bible is filled with emotion, but the Bible was breathed into existence by a God who transcends intellectualism. So this is what we got to do. This is the only weapon that we have against the lies of the enemy. Number two, the breastplate. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand firm with the breastplate, the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Now, the breastplate of righteousness represents the protective covering of our right standing before God. Your breastplate is your the protective covering of your right standing before God. At the cross, God placed all of our sin on his son, Jesus Christ. Then at the moment of salvation, when you believed on the name of Jesus and repented of your sin, God placed all of his son's righteousness on you. This is what is referred to as the divine exchange. So you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. You are now in right standing before God, which means that when you stand before him, he does not see your sin. He sees the righteousness of his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So the breastplate of righteousness represents the protective covering of your right standing before God. Now, the word breastplate in the Greek is thorax, and thorax simply means heart protector. Thorax means heart protector. In 1934, the King Alexander of Yugoslavia landed in France for an official visit. Before he left his warship, he dressed in full uniform of an admiral of the Navy. Finding that the uniform's tunic did not fit easily over his bulletproof vest, he took the vest off. Thus, when he entered the special vehicle which met him at the dock, his protective armor was gone. A few minutes later, an assassin's bullet pierced his uniform and entered the breast of the king, and the king died. This tragic event became one of the first assassinations to be caught on film. This didn't have to happen if he had just worn his bulletproof vest. But he was more interested in looking good than being good. The breastplate of a soldier may not look good. It may not feel good, but it is absolutely necessary if the one underneath is to be good. The breastplate of righteousness represents the protective covering of our right standing with God. In other words, even though the divine exchange has taken place, even though our sins were placed on Jesus at the cross, and his righteousness was placed on us at the point of salvation, and even though you and I are now in right standing with God, because when he sees us, he does not see our sin, he sees his son's righteousness, it is still our responsibility to live righteously in an unrighteous generation. It is still our responsibility to ensure that the breastplate of righteousness is securely placed on our thorax, on our torso. Why? Because the main purpose of the breastplate is to protect your heart. It is your heart protector. Amen? The human heart is an incredible wonder of God's creation. It beats about 100,000 times in one day and about 35 million times in a year. During the average lifetime, it will beat more than 2.5 billion times. And if you give a tennis ball a good hard squeeze, you will be using just about the same amount of force that your heart uses as it pumps blood through your system. As marvelous as this is, your spiritual heart, the part of your being that represents its very core, is so much more marvelous. Your spiritual heart, your inner self, represents the seat or the control center of your intentions, your desires, and your affections. So a wounded heart will be one that will eventually develop wrong intentions, selfish desires, and ungodly affections. But above all, your spiritual heart, your inner self, your inner man, is the Holy of Holies. It is the place where Jesus Christ has come to live by his Holy Spirit. So it's no wonder why Satan wants to desecrate it. You must protect your heart at all cost. Proverbs 3:23 declares, "Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it will flow the springs of life." The springs of life that flow from your heart represent the presence of God, his goodness, his love, his grace, his kindness, his mercy, his virtue, and his power. These springs of life not only sustain and refresh you, but they sustain and refresh those around you. Child of God, you are not just a carrier of God's presence. You are a channel of God's presence. And the river of God's presence that flows out from you will always start with a spring that rises up within you. John 4:14 says this, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Now, a spring becomes a river, and a river flows into the ocean, an ocean that has an unreachable depth and an unfathomable length and breadth. This, of course, describes the love of God. Amen? It is this love that has the power to truly transform lives, to destroy the wickedness and hate that Satan pours out. It is this love that conveys the hope and the faith into the heart and minds of those around you. So I just pray that you can now understand how crucial it is for the springs of life, of the new life, of the full life, of the abundant life, and of eternal life to continue to flow out of your heart uninterrupted. Now, for this to happen, church, your heart must be guarded. It must be protected, because a damaged heart, a compromised heart, will be an ineffective channel for God's presence. At this point, I just want to say, if you feel your heart has been damaged or compromised in some way, I know we prayed for a few people earlier on, but I just pray now that Jesus will heal and restore you today in his precious name. So to conclude this point, you need to know and be reminded that your righteousness, your right standing, Your right living before God protects your heart, your spiritual heart, your inner man, your inner self. And the completeness and health of your heart will determine the degree to which God's presence, the springs of life, will flow out of you to those around you. This is how the knowledge of the glory of God will fill and flood the earth, even as waters fill the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. When your heart is healthy, when your heart is complete, when your heart is whole, when your heart has not been injured, and it is the conduit, the channel that of God's presence that it has been created to be, the knowledge of the glory of God will fill and flood your home. It will fill and flood your work, your relationships, your place of education, your place of recreation. It will fill and flood everywhere and anywhere, even as waters fill the sea. But you need to protect your heart for this to happen. I think we're not very good at this. So this week, my encouragement to you is that you make the breastplate of righteousness something that is very secure and securely in place. Make sure it's firmly placed over your heart. How? By reminding yourself that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So not only are you protected by this righteousness, but you are his righteousness because you are in Christ. Number three, the sandals of the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6:15, we find this in Ephesians 6:15. The sandals of the gospel of peace represent the urgency of the gospel message. And there is no place that the gospel of peace cannot reach, even to the ends of the earth. And with the sandals of the gospel of peace, we are able to withstand and resist the enemy by being able to carry the power of the gospel and the peace of God into every situation. So once again, using the Roman soldiers as our illustration, during the average mission, they would normally have to travel great distances, anything up to 50 miles a day, carrying heavy loads of around 4 stone, 60 pounds, 27 kilograms in weight, all over different types of terrain. So their sandals need to be durable as well as functional. They even had metal studs underneath them to enable grip when walking or running. Paul, writing to Timothy, said this in 2 Timothy 2:3. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Church, the pilgrimage that you are on now as a follower of Christ, child of God, is one that is plagued with many dangers, toils, and snares. But it is grace that has brought you safe thus far, and it is grace that will lead you home. The terrain of this life is not always an easy one, nor is the way that leads to eternal life. But no matter how challenging the road may be, we have many promises of safe passage. One of them is found in Jude 24:25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know that it is our God, our Savior, himself, the Lord Jesus, who is able to keep you from stumbling. He is able to keep you from stumbling. And if you have stumbled, if you have fallen, he will pick you up. You were never created to be a quitter. You are never created just to give up. You are never created just to roll over and play possum and play dead. You are a fighter. You are a warrior. It doesn't make any difference what you believe about yourself or how you see yourself. You might look at yourself and think, no, I can't do this. The road is too hard. The terrain is too hard. The journey is too long. But it's Jesus who said that I will present you faultless before my Father. It is Jesus who said that I will present you faultless and with exceeding joy. It is the gospel of peace that we must bring. And it's a strange thing to talk about the gospel of peace and at the same time, in the same context, be prepared for battle. But you got to understand that the gospel of peace has to bring his peace to you first and foremost. And an army that goes into the battlefield with the peace of God has already won the victory. You got to understand, peace doesn't come after the fight. Peace comes before the fight, in the middle of the fight, and after the fight. You need to understand this today. God doesn't play by anyone's rules. A Christian whose life is in peace will not fall to pieces. But why sandals? Sandals because the Lord has given us the commission. Matthew 28:18-19, Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." He has given us the go. He has given you the go. So now we need to go. And the reason why it's sandals is because you will go where your legs and feet take you. Simple as that, really. You can't go somewhere if your legs and feet don't take you there. Is that right, church? I mean, I'm not talking about in our imagination. You can't physically go somewhere and leave your legs and feet behind. That would be a bit strange. And just half of your body waddling around. You need to go where your legs and feet take you. And this is what it says as I conclude in Romans 10:15. Actually, I'll read 14 and 15. You only have 15 up there. It says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him in whom they have not heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? For as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." In heaven's economy, doesn't matter what you think about your feet. Because obviously I'm not talking about our actual feet, praise the Lord. I'm talking about our spiritual feet. Heaven sees your feet as beautiful because they are carrying the gospel of peace. Amen?
Amen.
So to be prepared to resist the enemy, make sure that you are not walking around barefoot. Because if you walk around barefoot, you might hurt your beautiful feet. Amen?
Amen.
So, that's it. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the sandals of the gospel of peace. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's give God praise. Amen. Amen. We will conclude next week with the other three. In the meantime, can we have the ABCs up and someone on keys, please? Hallelujah. Now, this is a summary of everything that we represent as a church. If you are here, you're here today in this room or online, and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't have a relationship with Almighty God through Christ, I want to encourage you that you need to do something about that. You need to do something about that. I respect your right to believe whatever you want to believe. But again, I need to emphasize the point that what you believe and what I believe does not change from what really is. You must know this now. Heaven is a real place and so is hell. Heaven is a real place and so is hell. And the moment you die, the moment you take your final and last breath in time, you will be taking your first breath in eternity. And it will either be an eternity spent in the presence of a heavenly Father or an eternity spent apart from him in a place the Bible calls hell. Now, Jesus Christ has come to remind us that there is a way. There is a way of escape. Not out, not just out of, but into. Everything that God takes you out of is so that he can bring you into something. He never leaves you in some halfway house. He has created you for relationship. He has created you to have purpose. The only way that you and I can have this relationship with God, and the only way that you and I can really fulfill our purpose in God, is for the issue of sin to be dealt with. Because sin separates us from him. If right now, at this moment in time, either you are not born again, you have not given your life to Christ, or maybe you once did, but you've walked away from God, you've backslidden, I have good news for you. And that news is that Jesus Christ has paid it all. He has done it all. He has done everything that was needed to be done to address the problem with sin. And now in a moment, as soon as you give your life to Christ, the sin that was on you would have been placed on him, would have been placed on him at the cross, and his righteousness, his right standing with God, will be placed upon your life, the divine exchange. But you need to believe and you need to confess. You need to believe and you need to confess. Admitting that you have sinned against God, believing that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, the Son of God, Savior, Lord, and King, and of course, confessing that he and he only is the Lord of your life. So as we bring our time to a close, I just want to say, very, very quickly, if there is anyone in this room who at this moment in time, anyone watching online, who at this moment in time, you are ready to give your life to Christ. You are, I'm not talking about you trying Jesus. You don't try Jesus. He is Lord. He is God. He is King. I'm not going to try someone who hung on a cross for 6 hours for me, for my sin. He gives us an option. We either accept it or we reject it. And my prayer right now is that you will accept his free offer of salvation. You will accept this good news of eternal life. And the last thing I would say before we pray is that accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior doesn't mean that the terrain of life is all of a sudden going to get easy. But what he will do is he will equip you with some sandals. And you will be able to do what you need to do for his glory. To go where you need, where he needs you to go for his glory. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, if you want to give your life to the Lord, then I just want to encourage you to pray with us. This prayer in itself does not have the power to save you, but this prayer is your confession based on what you have already believed in your heart. If you're ready, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins and in my place. I confess that I have sinned against you. And I ask you to wash me clean and to make me new. Jesus, I confess that you are the Son of God. You are my Lord and my Savior. I ask you now to come and live in my heart, because from today, I give you my life for the rest of my life. From here to eternity. Amen. Amen. Let's give him praise. We were blessed to have one person respond in our first service. And I just want to say to you, if you have prayed that prayer, either for the first time or you're coming back to the Lord, we want to help you out with, first of all, we want to celebrate you. We want to just thank God for your life. And we want to help you with some literature. So if you have prayed that prayer, I just want to ask you to do one simple thing. Can you just raise your hand so that we can identify you and really, really thank God for you? Is there anyone in the room? Amen. Come on, let's give God praise. Let's give God praise. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Is there anybody else? Bless you, my sister. You're my sister now. I can call you that. Anybody else? All right. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise one more time. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. And God, we thank you for today. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad. And Lord, as we go into our week, Lord, help us go into our week prepared for battle. Prepared for battle. Lord, we thank you that we don't have to be battle-hardened or battle-weary, because you have promised us daily that we will fight from a place of victory and not for a place of victory. You have guaranteed a peace that surpasses all understanding, that in the midst of chaos, there will be calm. So Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, will you help us today be faithful in making sure that the truth that we believe is the truth of God, that our whole armor will be held together, held tight, and held firm upon this truth that says you are who you are and we are who we are in Christ. We ask now, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you will help us protect our hearts, even with this thorax, even with this coat of mail, this armor, this breastplate of righteousness. We thank you for the divine exchange. We thank you, God, that you have taken up, you took our sin. You took every sin of all of humanity, past, present, and future, billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of people. And you put it all in one funnel. And you put that funnel over the head of one man. And you poured everything on him, God. That's why we praise you. That's why we honor you, Jesus. That's why we can trust you, because you took it all and you became all. And having taken every sin upon yourself, Lord Jesus, you made us the righteousness of God in Christ. Help us guard our hearts. Help us simply choose to believe the truth, to doubt our doubts, and to reject the lies of Satan. And then, Lord, protect our beautiful feet. Help us fasten these sandals to be ready in season, out of season. Lord, we want our hearts to overflow with the knowledge of God. We don't want to be anything to hinder the outpouring of your presence through our lives, Lord. God, we want to get out of the way. We don't want to be a reason why somebody goes to hell, God. God, we don't want to be the reason why somebody goes to hell. Whatever you need to change inside of us, Lord, will you change? Whatever you need to heal, will you heal it, Lord? Whatever you need to restore, will you restore it, Lord? Only that we ask that you don't pass us by. Father, we ask, Lord, that as our hearts are whole, healed, and complete, as our feet are secure in the sandals of your peace, the gospel of your peace, that, Lord, where we are led, we will go, and we will take this peace. We will manifest your presence, and we will display your power in every place, in every quarter, right in the midst of the circle of our influence. So, Holy Spirit, we bless you, we thank you, we honor you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Before I say the benediction, church, again, it's just to remind you a practical way of working these things out. Tell someone your story. Share Jesus with someone. Just offer prayer to somebody. Just offer prayer. Do something this week to change someone's life. And if the only thing you can do is to invite them to church, then invite them to church. But do something, and the Lord will act on your behalf. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give God praise. Amen.